Hey, listeners, what's going on? This is Hungry Bear with Halo Respawn Podcast. And I got with me a couple of guys from the Halo Respawn community. And with me, I want to introduce you guys to Matt Vetking, also the founder and the owner of Halo Respawn. He's going to go ahead and introduce himself just a little bit. Hey, Matt, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, Mike? So welcome, guys, to the Halo Respawn Podcast. It's the very first one. I'm very excited. It's pretty much the launch for our community. We'll get into what Halo Respawn's about here in a little bit, but let's introduce the rest of the crew.
And then I'm going to have Eric, a.k.a. South. That's South without a U. It's going to be replaced with a V. Please don't try to read it out loud, but just go ahead and call him South. He's going to be my co-host through this great journey. Hey, what's going on, Eric?
Oh, it's going great. I'm excited to chat with you guys and dive into what Halo Respawn is and talk about a few other things Halo related.
Awesome, man. So, Matt, you mentioned that you were going to go a little bit more detail about Halo Respawn. Yeah. So what's the heart behind Halo Respawn, and how would you introduce that to people?
Yeah, so on a simple level, what is the vision or the heart behind Halo Respawn? So just to give it a little bit of context, how did Halo Respawn start? Obviously, over the past few years, you know, the Halo community has kind of segmented itself into all these different places, whether it be YouTube or a lot of people just have their communities based on Discord these days. You know, with all the excitement for Halo Infinite and Halo Master Chief Collection coming out on the PC, I was just like, you know, I really miss the old Halo sites that I used to be a part of, like GriffballHub.com, HaloCommunity.com, Halo Charts, and the like. And so it was about a few weeks before the Halo Infinite 2019 trailer dropped at E3, and I was sitting around and I went online and I tried to find any of these communities that might be around still, and I couldn't find them. Everybody's on Discord and on their own little niche. There's one thing I want to do. It's make a new community, kind of bring back, you know, that idea of community, because really the Halo community has been very different since the days of Halo Reach, and as you can go as far back as 4. It's just not quite the same. And, you know, everybody has their opinions on what Halo 4 and 5 has done to the Halo community. But, you know, while they have their issues, they're great games. You know, things have really changed over the years. So I can't really remember at this moment the exact reasoning behind starting Halo Respawn. But I was like, you know, I want to see a community again. I want to see the Halo community at large come together in one place, a place where we can share, you know, our creations, our visions, you know, our passion for this great series that has changed many of our lives. So I began Halo Respawn. I brought up the idea to my friend Afkrisi, which I'm sure you guys will meet in the future on the podcast. You see him around on Twitter. It was just like, hey, dude, listen, I want to bring back a Halo community website. You know, what do you think? And it was basically, yeah, let's do it. It was just one of those spur of the moment things. And so the vision behind it is I want Halo Respawn to be the bridge community. I want it to be the place where people can go and find the communities within Halo that they want to be a part of. It's like some people like to build costumes. Well, where do they go for that? They go to the 405th, or somebody wants to, you know, maybe somebody's from France and they love playing Halo. Well, they might not know of a place that is full of French Halo players. Well, there's Halo Creation, which is a French Halo community. So really what we're going to try and be is a showcase for the Halo community and a place that could unify the Halo community, because I think that's lacking today.
Awesome, man. Thank you for sharing the heart of that. It's an exciting thing to be a part of. And I think you mentioned something with Halo Infinite right around the corner.
Yeah.
I think specifically with the community, there's going to be a little bit of reborn taking place. So I love how the slogan for the Halo Respawn is the Halo community reborn. And so I think we're going to see a lot of that, especially with the launch of Halo Infinite.
Yeah, and I mean, that was definitely part of the idea behind the name, was because, again, I felt like the Halo community has really gone away since the days of Halo 3, Reach, and Halo 4, just because of things that have happened. And, you know, people grow up, people start, you know, families, and, you know, they just found other things to do, and Halo just wasn't captivating them enough. And I honestly think that's because the community at large was kind of running away. You know, the game didn't keep them there, and without a community to keep them there, I mean, it's kind of hard to stay. I mean, that was the same thing for me. When Halo 4 came out, you know, I was still very involved in the Griffball community. I used to play on at GriffballHub.com. And then Halo 5 came out, and I just lost interest. Not because the game itself, the matchmaking for me was something I enjoyed. The campaign is much to be desired. But the reason why I left and really wasn't involved for the past however many years was because the community wasn't as involved. And you know, I look back and it made me sad, because so much of my life is due to Halo, which we'll talk about. But I mean, I was like, man, this is something that I really missed. And if nobody else is going to take it upon themselves to try and at least make an attempt to maybe unify the community at large for this upcoming journey we have with PC and Master Chief Collection and Halo Infinite, you know, might as well do it myself kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah,
and I'll go ahead.
Yeah, I really look at it as the, you know, as a respawn point. You know, it's the rebirth of the Halo community.
And especially with Halo Infinite on the horizon, it's like, you know, we have the 343 themselves have said this is kind of a reboot, like this is kind of not necessarily a restart, but I feel
a
like
spiritual reboot.
Yeah, a spiritual reboot. And we have, you know, with what we're trying to do with Halo Respawn, I think it's a great time because it's like, you know, we just, you know, we went to Outpost in Orlando, and
yeah,
like I was blown away for how many people actually showed up for something that was Halo. Like, granted, you know, I'm going to go to as many Halo related things I can go to.
Absolutely.
But it just blew my mind how many people showed up and how long the lines were. And it shows you that the community is there. The community is still strong. The community still cares about this franchise that we have grown up with. And it blows my mind. And the fact that we're trying to, you know, be a hub for those within the community and, you know, introduce others, you know, people who are into, like you said, people are into cosplay to, you know, to a totally different part of the community and try to connect them,
right?
You know, allow them to work together. I think that's I think it's awesome because it, you know, that's what makes me excited to be a part of this is that there's so much opportunity out there to connect the community because the community is so far reaching in so many different directions and so many people may not necessarily even know, let's just say, throw cosplay out there that exists, or, you know, or, you know, there's people making mods for Halo 1 and it just allows people to connect. And that's what makes me excited about it.
Yeah. And that's actually something that, you know, we were just talking the past couple of days, you know, as we prep for the launch of HaloRespawn.com and we're just throwing out ideas and stuff. And, you know, we were just talking about Halo Outpost. That was another reason why I started this thing, was because it's like, oh man, you know, I'm going to be going to this thing and seeing people. And then just the hype of it all was just like, man, people really still care about Halo. And I recently came back to really be involved in the community within the past maybe 6 to 8 months. Like, I've been lurking, of course, because I love Halo, but it's my direct involvement has been growing, especially with all this news. And I was like, well, I'm realizing a lot of things. The community is more YouTube centric as far as like the lead communities within Halo. It's more YouTube centric, like Hidden Xperia, Late Night Gaming, Halo Can. And also Twitter has shown me that the Halo community at large is so broad now compared to what it used to be. Like before, it was just like, oh yeah, I'm at Halo Charts, or I'm at HaloCommunity.com, I'm at Halo.Bungie.org. I play Halo and I do this thing. But now, you know, there's people that do renders, there's people that do racing leagues, Forge. You know, it's gotten so much larger than what it was back in the what people refer to as the peak Halo community times. And, you know, to me, that just showcases people still love Halo and people want to have a place where they can come together and meet other Halo fans. And, you know, we all went to Outpost in Orlando, and that was a true showcase, you know, just realizing these ideas in our head, like, holy crap, people really care about Halo. And there are so many people that want something like this. And there's so many people too that don't know about these things, like 405th. Like, people are like, man, I wish I could make a Halo cosplay. And they go to Orlando and like, I didn't know this existed. I ran into maybe at least 20 people that had no idea Halo had a cosplay prop community.
Speaking of the concept of the Halo community, I want to just get into this concept here with you guys personally. Why don't you guys, and we'll start with Matt, why don't you share how you got involved in the Halo community in the first place?
Yeah, so I mean, that story could, you know, come about many different ways, but I'll just start with, you know, how I got into Halo really quick. I broke my Dreamcast when I was 4, and then forced my family to buy an Xbox on launch day in 2001. And the next day, my brothers and all his friends, they all got Xboxes on launch day. And I was 5 at the time. I walked downstairs into our basement, and him and probably 10 or 15 friends are downstairs. They have a bunch of TVs and Xboxes, and they're doing a LAN party right after launch day. And they did that for like 3 days. Literally downstairs doing a LAN party. And I won't ever forget. I walk downstairs, lights are off, they're all playing Halo. And I walk over to my brother and I look up at the screen. And my first memory of Halo is watching my brother, they're playing on Rat Race. And he grabs the invisibility cloak. And I say, "Where'd you go? You just went invisible." And he's like, "Shh, don't tell them that. They'll know where I'm at." And that was my very first moment with Halo. and then from that day on, I would come home from school. And I would sneak my way into the basement and I would turn on the Xbox and play Halo. And I will never forget the first moment that I came out of the tunnel on the level Halo. When you come out of the tunnel and you see this vast landscape when you're in the Warthog. Like that for me, mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people is the moment with Halo where they just been grasped, because like for me it was the visuals. You know, of course 2001, you're 5 years old and like, "Oh my gosh, look at this game."
Yeah.
But not only that, but the music, you know, Marty O'Donnell, I mean, you can't talk about Halo without
amazing.
The music. And, you know, that the music is the soundtrack to my life. You know, I play it almost every day. I study, I work to it. And that's really where I got my start with Halo. And then, you know, I've just played with my family and friends over the years. Then Halo 2 came out. My brother's got the limited edition. And what really kicked off my Halo journey was actually the limited edition or the Legendary Edition, whatever it was called, the companion DVD, where it showed the making of Halo 2.
Yeah.
And within that, there's a lot of important aspects to it. One, it showed me how they made Halo, which inspired me to want to be a game developer, which ended up inspiring me to work within media, and I do marketing for a living. And but I won't ever forget in that I saw the video of Claude Herrera with his LAN parties, and that was like, "Oh wait, there's a community to this thing." And by the way, this is 2004. I was a kid still at the time. And then, yeah. But the biggest part of that entire DVD was when they interviewed Bernie Burns at Rooster Teeth and showcased Red vs. Blue a little bit. And I won't ever forget this. And I won't ever forget those first words of, "You ever wonder why we're here?" And so I always wanted to do machinima. That's how I got into voice acting. And you know, after that, I was obsessed with Red vs. Blue, been a fan since 2004. And since then, I mean, I got involved directly with the Halo community back in 2010. I finally got a 360, joined a Halo clan. Somebody reached out to me on matchmaking on Halo Reach. And then through that, I was like, "Oh, Griffball's actually a thing." And then I found griffballhub.com. I also met Josh Afkersey, and then by ironic twist of fate, I was actually a fan of the YouTube channel Firelight Studios, and they made machinimas. And I didn't know that that was Josh's channel. So I became part of Firelight Studios, eventually taking over Firelight Studios. And so my life during Halo Reach was Firelight Studios. It was griffballhub.com. I ran a griffball league called International Griffball League for a while. And nice. And through that, I met a whole bunch of people. And it really changed my life. And it was some of the best days of my life were the days of Halo Reach. And that's really where I got my start. I met a lot of great people. And that's what started it for me. I mean, I kind of went more in depth than I wanted to there, but I could even go deeper. But
that's cool, man.
That's cool. My story, really.
Awesome, Matt. Thank you for sharing that, man. Yeah. Hey, Eric, what about you? What got you into Halo?
Oh, man. It's kind of an emotional story because When I was younger, I moved to Illinois. I didn't really have many friends. I was going to a church, and kind of connected with this guy. His name's Mark. I went over to his house, and it was kind of it was a bunch of kids playing Halo, and I had no idea what Halo was at the time. And you know, they were sitting there sniping each other, yelling at each other, screaming. You know, just having a ton of fun. And I remember thinking like, "Man, I want in on this." And my buddy, he's like, "You know, here, try it out. Here's my controller." And it was a Duke controller. Big old thick controller.
Oh boy.
And to me at that time, it was just like, the thing was huge, but it was inverted. And I'm sitting there running around like a dummy, you know, not knowing what to do. And, you know, eventually, you know, I still play inverted to this day, but, but you know.
Are you serious? Is that a real fact?
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, wow. Every FPS game too. Play is inverted.
Wow, when it comes I'm the only controller. One.
But anyways, you know, later down the road, because he and I, you know, we really connected through Halo, and you know, I remember, you know, I remember sitting down, we were looking at Xbox magazines and, you know, just reading the rumors and like all these, you know, all these things that were supposed to come, you know, to Halo 2 and getting really excited about it. And then eventually, you know, I found out, you know, that my family was moving to Arizona. Wow. And at that time, I, you know, I got super depressed because I was like, I just made friends, you know, I have, you know, my best friend here. And, it, you know, it, for me is, you know, it's like I was in, I think middle school. It was hard. And, but what was awesome about Halo is like, I remember to this day, like I left school early, for the Halo 2 launch, picked it up. It was at a, I got the Steelbook edition or whatever it was called. And I picked it up from Game Crazy and I went home and I played it, got online, and for months that's how I connected to my friends I made back in Illinois. And to me, like that was, it kind of kept me sane because, you know, like I had a, you know, I was having a hard time, not necessarily meeting people, but I just had a hard time connecting with people because I miss my friends. I, you know, we had this thing that we connected with. We had these LAN parties and so like Halo 2 and Xbox Live allowed us to connect and stay connected. And eventually we all kind of went our, you know, different ways. And, you know, I still talk to my friend to this day. We still talk about Halo. But, you know, eventually I kind of went my own way and wasn't necessarily involved with the Halo community. And I'd say probably 4 or 5 years ago or so, I could be wrong on that time, but you know, I got into collecting action figures and things like that. And of course I gravitated towards Halo related things. And so I got connected through the Halo Collector
Facebook page.
Yeah. And, met a bunch of people through that and ended up going to PAX and just really connecting with people and just, you know, really falling in love with the Halo community again. And just found my, you know, myself, you know, meeting all these people and just connecting. And to me, it's like, you know, I've been involved in a bunch of different communities through the years, but the Halo community, a lot of it is because it's nostalgic and it's very personal for me because of, you know, the things that I went through in the past and how Halo was an outlet for me. But at the same time, it's like out of all the communities out there, the Halo community is just super rad. You know, everyone's, no matter what, you know, whether they're into cosplay or they're into collecting, you know, everyone can come together and just have a good time. And that's just something that I've really loved about the Halo community and is just kept me coming back, you know, for more. And, you know, meeting all these people over the years and just, you know, like, hey, you know, we all have connected through Halo and we're doing a podcast now. So it's really cool that, you know, the things that come out of the Halo community and the things that people do, and it's not, you know, we're not making money doing this. We're doing this because it's our passion and it's something that we love. And it's, what's really cool about Halo is that we, you know, it's so many different generations of people who enjoy Halo, and you know, whether it's just multiplayer or just campaign, you know, there's ways to, you know, there's ways to connect no matter what part of the Halo community you're in. And just thinking about like Outpost and just how, you know, the fact that there was like 2 hour lines and like these, it's just so many people there just coming to enjoy something that I've loved, you know, a majority of my life, and seeing, younger kids getting into Halo and getting excited about it and just seeing that this, you know, this community isn't dying or going anywhere anytime soon. And that's what I love about it is that it's people of all walks of life. And yeah, it's, I could go on and on and on, but
maybe we'll have to do a podcast where we just talk more in depth of this.
Yeah. Right.
Well, what about you, Mike?
Thanks, man. So my story is kind of interesting. I didn't play a lot of video games. I was around 10 years old. I think that was just something that I just didn't get involved with. It didn't really catch my attention. So I'm 10 years old. My grandmother had a lot of errands to run, but she said, hey, look, if you tag along, we'll go to Toys R Us and we'll get something cool. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll stick with her. So then she goes, and one of the errands she wanted to get done was getting her nails done. So I sit in the salon. I have nothing to do. I'm just sitting there twiddling my thumbs. And I look, and these two dudes come out from the back. They pull this big, heavy, microwave-looking thing. They put it right in front of a projector, all right? And they put this bad boy on there, and I see this green, like, flubber just oozing around. And then I see some blue titles in a dark space. And then they load in the game. They hop right in, and it's almost magical. I see them drop into a Warthog, and they're just going through Halo. And I didn't know what it was. But at the time, I'm looking at it, I'm going, wow, whatever this is, I need to be a part of it. So that was like, that's it. It consumed me. It completely caught my eye. And I was just, from being in a position where I was going to be bored and not really having too much to do, to now being completely in awe of what I was seeing. And at that time, that was like, at video games, that was like the best it could get. And so I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, now I want to be a part of video games. Because I had saw some generic things, not to say that they weren't great. They were able to get us where we are now, but they just really didn't catch my eye at the time. But Halo was it. I knew I want to be a gamer. I don't know how to get involved, but I know I want to do it. So I want to say a couple months would pass by. My brother and I, we would go to some friends' houses just hanging out, and then I see it again. Boom. It's split screen. There's four players. They're playing Halo Combat Evolved, and I'm like, man, I need to get a part of this. So my brother at the time, he's like, you know, he thought I was too young to be playing video games, so it's a rated M game and all that stuff. So my brother leaves, and I wanted to go and, like, you know, try to own it up. I saw these guys getting killed, so I try to open, and I am looking like a clown. Okay, I'm looking up in the air. I'm doing what all those noob things, those noob kids do. They're looking up in the air, and they're stuck in a corner, and they're trying to figure out the game. But I just wanted to get a part of it. I played enough to be able to kill one person at least, and then I got the controller stripped away from my hands. And I knew, man, I need to get a part of this. So I tried to explain to my brother, look, I really want to be a part of this. And he just kept on saying, you're not old enough. So a couple of years would pass by, and I'd have a conversation, and eventually my family would be like, you know what? I guess we just didn't understand the whole gaming thing, so why not, you know, but with moderation. Right. So years would go down, and I did not yet own my own Xbox, but I would be able to play with friends. So I was, you know, looking forward to every moment I can go to this friend's house because I was going to be able to play some Halo. So some time would pass by, and I go over to a friend's house. We're playing Halo 1, doing some split screen, and he tells me, oh, there's a new Halo coming out. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, there's a new Halo coming out. So that's when I started getting involved into really looking at gaming news and finding out what was coming out, when it was coming out. So Halo 2 comes out. All of our friends, we get Xboxes, we get a bunch of controllers. And a lot of them at their time, they were in their 20s, early 20s. We had Xboxes, four controllers, two copies of Halo 2 in the trunk of almost all our cars, no matter where we went. After we went to hang out somewhere, if we were at a house and there was a TV, we were playing four-player split screen.
That's dedication.
Just playing. Yeah. It was literally like almost like – it was pretty much at a point that whenever we would return to the house, we're like, oh, you guys want to play some Halo? Okay, yeah, here you go. We got the TV ready for you. It was like at that point. They That's knew awesome. What we wanted to do. So we go and eat at a restaurant. Then afterwards go hang out at a house. Some people playing some board games. Us, we're playing some Halo. So then – fast forward to Halo 3's launch, and I just was like, you know what? I am going to go all out for this game. I'm going to get the 360. I'm going to go ahead and because at the time with Halo 2, you didn't need the 360 yet. You know, you could still play on the Xbox,
right.
The original Xbox. And so once Halo 3 came out, I was like, you know, I have no excuse. I got to get my 360. I got a 360 that year for Christmas. So it was always like I had the original Xbox, actually. I forgot to mention. I did eventually get the original Xbox, and I was playing on that. But then so playing lots of Halo 3. Halo 3 was the game that I think some people might say it's cliche and it sounds dumb, but Halo 3 is the game that changed my life. After I started playing tons and tons and tons of that game, I remember beating the last mission on Halo 3 with some friends at my house. And it was just my brother, a close friend of ours, myself, and none of them could figure out how to drive the Warthog. They just kept on falling and falling and falling. And I was able to get in the behind the wheel and take us in and land into, Fort Arntzadon, if I'm not mistaken. We were able to land in there and make it clear out and get that legendary ending. And so that was just those moments for me, which got me into Halo, was seeing people play close to each other, next to each other, having fun, enjoying this moment. That is what got me into really enjoying Halo and being like I want to be a part of this. And then that is kind of what I decided to go from there. Whenever I played Halo, it was with friends. Whenever I would go to a LAN party, I would like, dude, I mentioned this earlier to you, Matt, and you got some of this recorded, but we would have a LAN party for Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo 4, and Halo 2. And we would have a LAN party with 16 people capped up.
Yeah.
However many people we could fit in, we'd fit them on there. We'd get a tower of pizza, a truckload of Mountain Dew, and we'd just go for like 3 days straight, nonstop.
Those were the days, man. I mean, like, I never had anything to that large, but you mentioned it, dog. You guys would just have an Xbox at the ready, basically in your car, ready to bring to your friend's house.
Yeah.
I mean, my memories, like, with Halo growing up, was like Halo 2 is my bread and butter when it comes to Halo. That's the one I go to. Mm-hmm. And when I'd go to my cousin's house, I'd always bring the Xbox. We'd play Halo 2 all night long. And the thing that we would always try to do, we spent years on it, was trying to get the Scarab gun in Halo 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we would just do countless hours. And again, Mountain Dew and pizza.
Of course.
That was it.
Of course.
Yeah, see, so that was the thing with Halo 2 for me, because I was in Arizona at the time. And, you know, I did LAN parties and things like that before in the past, but I can't tell you how many times, you know, we would just, me and my friends would just sit on Xbox Live and and just sit in multiplayer maps, like a private match, and just do sword jumps to try to get out of the map.
Yep.
Then pass out, wake up the next morning and go to school, and then come right back home, jump on,
rinse and,
do
the and same repeat.
Thing. Yeah. And that was the thing that's like, it, you know, for me, like with Halo 2 specifically, because I was able to connect with my friends and everything, like, you know, I didn't have a ton of those LAN parties. I had LAN parties. We did LAN parties with Halo 1 when I was living in Illinois at the time. But Xbox Live really changed it for me because I was able to stay connected and play and just, like I said, I can't remember like how many times I would wake up with a controller in my hand, be like, oh crap, I gotta go to school.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, those really were the days. But like, what then got you directly involved in the community, Mike?
That's a good question. So at the time, I did play lots of like custom games. I would like just trying to do all kinds of fun stuff. I loved, it just sounds weird, but I really loved playing like 16 player FFA on Valhalla.
It's a blast, man.
Yeah. And just like the mayhem. And like, that's what, when we did land, that was like kind of the hype. And sometimes you have some people who, you know, you got the geese down there in the bottom, you got the new kicks and they're trying to figure out the game. And it was kind of fun to be on top, 16 people. And that was kind of, I guess, the pride in me. It was just like, all right, let me see in the top of the board and everyone on the bottom. But so the chaos of it was really cool. And so then I got involved into X-Forgery and Forge Hub.
Okay.
That was a way that I was able to see a lot of the new creations, especially in Halo 3. Back in the day, you couldn't fuse objects together in Forge. Right. There was like a whole respawning of the items and the timing of how you put things to be able to build and graph objects together. And you would see the stuff that people do. And I would try to echo some of those things. And I would do fairly well, but not according to some of these guys. These guys would make masterpieces. So what really got me involved into the community, you know, per se, was Forge Hub. After that, I was like, man, I got to get connected with some people. We want to have some fun, crazy games. I want to kind of emulate what I was doing with these LAN parties, but with people online. And then you would see those gamer tags kind of, you know, be repeated over and over and over. Right. And then what I did, I said, man, I'm going to get out there. So a couple, just one friend of mine and I, we did a Halo fan page on Instagram back when Instagram first started. And at the time, having 700 followers was like a big deal, I guess, especially when we started like 4 months ago, and then from 4 months to having 700. And we really spiked up, especially right before the launch of Halo 4 is when we really spiked it up and got really, really busy. But it was Instagram, social media. Once we started reaching out through social media, we were able to see, man, there's a lot of Halo fans out there. And some of those people that I met to this day, I'm still friends with. So like 10 plus years playing some Halo. I ended up getting married in October, and some of them even made it out to Miami where I'm at. And attended my wedding. So it was just, you know, the Halo community is a place that I love to be a part of. I say this a lot. It feels like it's home. And man, it is like, some people don't get it. You know, a lot of people will ask me if they're not familiar with gaming or the industry, and they'll ask me questions and stuff. I don't get it. Can you explain it to me? Or they won't even ask if I can explain it. They'll just, you know, it's a waste of time and all this stuff. And I just kind of tell them, hey, you don't have the friendships that I have. You know,
exactly.
So
it's interesting. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I've had that a lot too. Like, one of the things outside of just, you know, the multiplayer and things like that with Halo, like I've been really into, you know, the campaigns and the story, and you know, a lot of time for those who are outside the Halo community and just don't really understand it, and it's because, you know, I bring it up all the time, but like the awe of walking out on the ring for the first time.
It
reminds me of when I was younger and I was getting into Star Wars and just like this huge universe and this big story, and you know, all, you know, whether it's books or you know anime or anything like that, it's like Halo is huge and it's like a huge universe. And that's, you know, for people outside of the Halo community, a lot of times, like, you know, I explain that to them. It's like, look, you know, yeah, we have this awesome community. There's a bunch of people who are into multiplayer, but like, you know, this got a huge story. And, you know, I've had friends get into Halo because of the story specifically, and like, they don't care about multiplayer.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, they're able to dive into the campaigns, but also, you know, the novels and things like that. It's just something awesome about Halo that you just don't see. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I'm super excited for Infinite is that, you know, it you know, a lot of us got, you know, our nostalgia tickles were going off when that trailer when that trailer was going on, you know, playing A3. And you know, I'm super excited to see the direction that Halo is going to go into. And I love to see that there's, you know, the fact that, you know, it's like, oh wow, here's the Marine helmet that looks like an OG, like, you know, Marine helmet. And the fact that, you know, they're really focusing on that nostalgia, but also like the core of Halo.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, there's people who, you know, started with Halo 4, but, you know, it's, if they can find a way to like bridge the gap between all these different generations of Halo fans and bring people in and just, and keep the community, you know, excited about whether it's, you know, Forge or whatever it is, and you know, bringing new things to Halo, but at the same time keeping the core of Halo. I feel like we're going to see kind of like a resurgence of people coming back to the Halo community and getting involved again. And again, you know, I got super involved with it a while, you know, with Halo 4 and then Halo 5 again, you know, because I had that time gap. But, you know, like I don't think I've been as excited for a Halo game as I am for Infinite right now because of the possibilities and what it can do for the community.
Yeah. No, and just before we move on, I just want to touch on, Mike was talking about, you know, Halo is like family, you know, for a lot of us. And I mentioned earlier, I think this is definitely something we should revisit on future podcasts, so we can really dive deep into our stories.
Oh, yeah.
What it means to us. But, you know, when you said family, I'm like, yeah, Halo does seem like a family. And, like, I look at my own personal life with Halo, and, you know, I don't have, like, a huge, like, Halo family in my personal life, like, people that I've met personally. But, you know, I look at it, my best friends in college I would have not been friends with them if it were not for Halo. For just the base reason that if I didn't watch that Halo 2 DVD, I don't know if I would have been a fan of Machinima. If I wasn't a fan of Machinima, I wouldn't have been watching them. And I wouldn't have found Firelight Studios. I wouldn't have met Afcracy, been a part of Firelight Studios, and then take over Firelight Studios. And then, you know, I got to college. I was, you know, just there for an overnight stay to, you know, meet people and take class, like, check out classes. And I get on the floor, and first guy I meet, his name's Jared. And he's like, hey, what do you like doing? I'm like, oh, I love video games. I love playing Halo. And he's like, you like Halo? The guy down the hall loves Halo. His name's Alex. Wow. And Alex and I became, like, best of friends. And I had that group, Firelight Studios. And then, like, most of the guys on that side of the floor became my crew. And the best moments of my entire life, and this is kind of outside of Halo, were with the guys at college with Firelight Studios. Like, the memories I've made just playing games because Halo brought us together, because we had a discussion about it. And even the days of Halo Reach, playing Griffball, meeting all these people online, those are like the highlights of my life. And what I wanted to mention you before, though, was, you know, Halo is such an integral part of, I think, each of our lives that we can say, you know, it's been very prominent, you know, it's had very important moments in our lives. I mean, as you mentioned, like your wedding, even.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just hard to believe what my life would be without Halo. I just forgot kind of what I was going to say, but that, you know, tends to happen when I talk. But hopefully it can come back to me.
So pretty much what you're trying to get to, though, is the aspect that the Halo community is a place we all love.
Yeah.
It's a place we want to get involved in. It's a place that can get, you know, become a home for a lot of people might not have access to that kind of interaction with some people. Or like Eric was saying, how he had a home, in a sense, he was able to keep in touch with his family and his friends, even from a distance. And Halo is one of those places that gets us to be connected.
Yeah, and that's actually what I wanted to say. Now I remember, it was, you know, there was a period of my life, obviously, like Halo 4 comes out and then Halo 5 hits. I'm in college and I kind of dropped out of the Halo community. And honestly, the past like 5 years was like a low point for me. There was a lot of great things, but I felt like something was missing. Especially once the guys and I at Firelight Studios kind of went our separate ways. And I was really lost. I was really sad. And it hit me, you know, within the past, again, like 9 months or so, I'm like, it was Halo. Because I hopped in a game again, I started connecting with people that I played Halo with. I'm like, that's what was missing in my life. It was such a huge part of my life before that without it, I felt a piece of me was missing. So I'm really excited to see this all come together. And especially, which we're going to talk about here in a second, is Outpost. How integral even Outpost is to Halo Respawn.
Oh, yeah. So as you mentioned, Outpost, that'll be our next little section and we get some more detail in. So Halo, in case of anybody who's listening who's not aware, 343 was able to make an event similar to something that's been done in the past with Halo Fest, where they made an entire convention dedicated to Halo. And they've been taking place in a couple of major cities. And myself, Matt, and Eric were all able to attend the Halo Outpost Discovery that took place in Orlando. And it was a blast. And so I wanted to take this time for us to kind of go a little bit and share with you guys our experience and our reaction to the Halo Outpost Discovery that took place in Orlando. So, Matt, since you were kind of going a little bit in that, if you could briefly share with us your experience over there in Orlando.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first, I'll start off with things that I enjoyed. Number one, as soon as I got there, I was in line getting my ticket, met Jordan, Writing Spartan. We were on Twitter talking and stuff like that, and made a friendship over the weekend. And I was like, oh, cool. But the biggest thing for Outpost, I'm like, I get to finally meet some of the people that I've been friends with online for years. I've seen their names. Some of these people I've admired, like Claude Herrera, got to meet Claude. So first experience, walking into Outpost Discovery, you walk in, you see Master Chief. For me, I had chills. I'm like, I know it's a freaking statue, but just to see a life-size Master Chief and then see all these people lined up, they're here for the same reason I am, because of Halo. And it was just that realization, like, yeah, the community is actually real. You know what I'm saying? It's not just this thing that's online. It actually exists. And for 3 days, I got to just divulge and dive headfirst into this experience. of Halo Outpost Discovery and just meeting people that I've been wanting to meet for years. So for me, my favorite part of Halo Outpost, just to brief it, was honestly meeting people and making friends. I actually did not get to do any of the experiences because the lines were so long. And that's kind of a gripe I have with it, was line control and just management of lines. That's really my biggest gripe with the event. But I'm okay with that because I've met so many great people. I was able to connect with you, Mike, specifically, at the community panel with Claude Herrera, Green Skull, and Duststorm. So that's actually how we met, just by chance. And I somehow missed Eric at the event.
Yeah, he creeped along through the shadows.
Yeah, so, but it's funny because you and I just met on a whim. And then that night we all went out to Dave and Buster's. We were all supposed to meet up for dinner. And then we were on a separate table. It was you, our friend John, Writing Spartan, his friend Dan, my girlfriend, and myself. And we just made this friendship. And then obviously we were talking Halo Respawn, and here we are. So it's, again, Halo Outpost Discovery was crucial and integral to the creation of this group itself. And that just speaks to the importance of the Halo community and also this event that they've created for us.
Yeah. So thank you, Matt, for sharing that. I think there was so much to leave out of Outpost. And Eric, I'm pretty sure you have a lot to share with us too. So how was your experience over there in Orlando during the Halo Outpost Discovery event?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I only had a day, which kind of sucked, but, you know, because I was only able to do like two things, like the Halo Ring experience and the escape room, and that was it. But for me, you know, again, you know, I was able to also sit in the, on the Halo community conversation or the panel. There we go. I could think of it there for a second. I was able to sit in on that, and then I had, you know, had to bolt out of there. But, you know, for me, what I thought was really cool about it was like you're walking into the Halo world. It was like, you know, it was a museum, or, you know, a recruiting tool, and these things, like, you know, the fact that they took the, you know, like they made that drone specifically for Halo Outpost, but they made it canon. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was really cool that you were able to, you know, walk around and, you know, see these artifacts from, you know, from history within the Halo universe. And again, you know, as, you know, the people going and, you know, people I've known, meeting new people, like, you know, Mike, you and I finally got to meet.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's, I don't know how long we've known each other.
Four or 5 years or something like that. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. And, but, you know, again, you know, it sucks that, you know, it's funny, or not sucks, but like, it's funny that, you know, people that are involved with Halo Respawn, I didn't even talk to.
Yeah, I mean, half of us, there was a couple of you that I didn't even know were actually at the event, and now we're here. So
yeah, and so for me, you know, I think I thought it was cool. You know, that's, you know, like, it's kind of like, it's weird because like I wasn't like upset that I wasn't able to do a lot of the
activities, you
know, right? A lot of the activities. I was more interested in just seeing people that I know. That's the same reason why I go to PAX every year, is because I get to see people that I know and you know, friends, and you get to hang out and just talk and, you know, have a good time. But as far as like, you know, Halo Outpost, like, it blew my mind for how many people showed up for it. Like, I wasn't expecting that many people to be there, and it really just blew my mind that, you know, like I've mentioned, you know, previously, is that there's that many people still into Halo. And, you know, it was cool. I was able to see people that I've met at PAX over, you know, in Florida. And, you know, as far as like things I would like to see in the future, like I would like to see more technology integrated with things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know, like, you know, a lot of this is still like, you know, they're working out what works, what doesn't work. You know, I would love to see, like, I know, like, E3 a couple years ago, they had a HoloLens, and you were able to go and, you know, experience this Halo experience or environment or so, and have a HoloLens on and, you know, see certain things and kind of have that futuristic feel. And I'd love to see more things like that. And but overall, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed the community panel. I enjoyed all the artifacts, like I said, and just I thought the app was cool when it worked.
Yeah,
you know, having the AR, and like as a developer, I love those kind of things. Like I love AR, and that's the reason why I brought up the like the HoloLens type experiences. Like I love that kind of stuff. You know, and that's what's cool about Halo is very futuristic and you know sci-fi and as you know as a developer, just those kinds of things excite me. But I think. Yeah, I wish I was able to stay, you know, for all 3 days. But you know, from that one day that I was there, I thought it was great. I enjoyed it, and I will definitely go. They do it again next year. And you know, what about you, Mike? What did you like about Outpost?
Yeah, man. So I'm a big convention guy. I love going to conventions. There's a convention locally here. It's SuperCon, Florida yeah. SuperCon. And it's a pretty big one here, at least for Miami. Smaller compared to, you know, San Diego Comic-Con and Cali. But I like conventions. They're a blast. I love getting to meet some of the people behind some of the things that I love to spend time watching, doing, being a part of. So it's kind of like a kick to me. I get a kick out of it. You know what I mean? So conventions is my thing. I've also, in 2017 was like one of the craziest years because I was able to go to E3 2017, Fan Fest 2017 in LA as well. And then Star Wars Celebration, which took place in Orlando that year. All in the same year, it was just like out of this world. And if I'm not mistaken, no, I did not go to SuperCon that year. But it was just a jam-packed, eventful year, full of some awesome opportunity to meet some great people. I guess it was cool because of in 2017, when I went to LA for E3, I got to meet a really big chunk of some of the people behind Halo. So I got to meet Sketch and Andy Bravo and Michael Wolf and the marketing team. I got to meet John Friend, who actually was the man behind the magic of Halo Outpost Discovery. And so getting into that, I have already experienced a convention in the same convention center. This convention specifically for Halo Outpost took place in the Orange County Convention Center. And in 2017, I was there for Disney's owned Star Wars Celebration, right? So that was, yes, it was bigger. Yes, it had much more people, but the quality wasn't as good. So like the first day for Star Wars Celebration was a nightmare. Second day, it got better. Third day, okay, they finally figured out what they were doing. But for Halo Outpost Discovery, when I went the first day, there was a lot of people complaining. There's not a much you can do about the lines, especially on this very first event. And for example, when it came to Celebration, there weren't any VR. There wasn't any laser tag. There weren't any attractions like there are here. So people weren't lined up to do some of these things. It was mainly getting in to interact with little different aspects of the Star Wars universe. But with Halo Outpost Discovery, it was pretty crazy because we got to actually interact with the Halo universe in ways that I've never been able to interact with the universe or the franchise of things that I like to spend time in, like this. So it was out of this world. I mean, as soon as I walk in, I'm running into some Microsoft staff that I've gotten to meet over the years. We're kind of reconnecting, talking about family, catching up. So immediately, my favorite part of Mike's time over there in Orlando during the Outpost was getting to interact with some of these people who are behind something that I really love and I love to do. And then running into, I'm an extrovert, right? So I can just talk to anybody.
No, really?
Nothing really holds me back. So Matt knows, he knows how I am. And so, you know, meeting new fans, people in line, having conversations, you know, getting to, again, reconnect with some of the people that I've gotten to the privilege of getting to know over the years. I think it was literally 5 minutes into walking into the convention center, I run into John Friend and I'm like, hey, dude, so far, so awesome. I gave him a high five. And was just letting him know, hey, dude, this looks freaking amazing. So just the same way that Matt was mentioning, the same way Eric was mentioning, I walk in through that entrance. And this was like the bittersweet part was I'm walking in. There's a big line. I have to get my bags filled out. Checked out through security.
Oh, man.
I pass the security line, and then there's the entrance. I'm expecting it to be like, holy smokes, this is crazy. I did have the privilege of being able to go VIP 3 days. So VIP attendees were able to go a whole hour before the general admission.
So lucky.
Yeah, thank you. So I was in there. And so at first I thought, oh, man, this is really empty. The entrance is really empty. But then I said, maybe it's empty because this is going to be jam-packed. I ended up talking to some staff, and I found out there was about 10 to 15,000 people at this event. Okay? It was massive, the amount of people who were able to attend this event. And it's for Halo, one specific thing. There were so many people who were staff members there. They're like, I don't know what Halo is. And then they were like, I want to be a part of Halo now. So you go in, and one of my negative side was that it was like empty in the first entrance, and it took a little bit. You have to take a little walk, and then once you get in, that's what really got me. So it was kind of bittersweet in the sense of it was bitter because it wasn't really supposed to, I wanted to more of a wow factor when I came in,
right?
And I was able to share some of my input on that, and there will be some changes in the future, especially with some of the future outposts taking place. So Chicago, you guys can get a little tease, but know that you're not going to have any of these hiccups. And then once you walk into the main section where the outpost discovery is really taking place, that's where it got sweet, from bitter to sweet, because it was like a jaw-dropping like moment where I just was like, oh, this is okay, well, fingers crossed, because this part is kind of lame. And then when I walk in, it was like, wow, okay, this is a Halo event. And I felt like a kid in a candy shop. I just wanted to keep on going here and checking out that and getting the app and scanning this and doing that. And then I'm seeing people that I know. I want to spend just a little time in this. I got to run into Grim Brother One, to Jeff, over at 343 Industries, and we got to talk a little bit. Me and my friend John got to spend some time talking with him, and we did talk for quite a bit. But one of the things that I took away from that conversation was when we talked about Halo Infinite. There's not a lot he can say, but right. We decided to ask anyways, right? You never know. And so when we asked about Infinite, it turned into a conversation about Infinite. And so my friend John asked a pretty good question, which was there anything going to be done to kind of add to the lore of Halo, the same way Destiny has some other activities you can do to add to the lore of Destiny? Is Halo going to have something similar to that? And what Jeff was able to say, again, none of this is NDA, so there's no, and everything can change. But what he was mentioning was they're experimenting on new ways to add more lore, and that things like the terminals are some of the inspiration behind what we're going to get. So terminals could be something that are still in the game, but there might be other things in that sense of Easter eggs that you have to look for story. And then another question I asked was, I mentioned that I got a pretty cool comment from Jeff was, I said, hey, I really like the title for the game, which is Infinite. It kind of leads to infinite possibilities, like being able to add things in the future and seeing where this is going to go. And Jeff's response was a nice big grin from ear to ear and saying, I think you got something going there. So Aaron Greenberg kind of spilled the beans and mentioned some stuff he shouldn't. Aaron Greenberg works at Microsoft, and he mentioned in an interview that Halo Infinite was going to be a game that would have a lot of additions to it throughout the year. So it looks nice. Like, that was kind of cool to kind of get that confirmed. But my experience in Halo Outpost Discovery was just an awesome one. I think the same way for you guys, the main a part of it was interacting with the community. To me, there was nothing like it. I got to meet so many people, whether they were people who were in the community, a part of making the game, and some people part of enjoying the game, and some people influencing the game. I was able to meet all those three parties, and it was just an absolute pleasure. It was so cool to get to meet you, Matt, and then to finally, over the years, get to meet you, Eric, and some of that with a lot of my friends, being able to meet them again, reconnect. Some friends that I ran into, I was like, man, I would be walking around, someone goes, Hungry Bear? I'm like, huh? Oh, hey. And it'd be like a Twitter friend or something. And then I'd be looking around and be like, hey, there's so-and-so. Hey, there's so-and-so. And that was just really, really sweet. I think that was like really the best part. Now, I did get to do some of the attractions since I was there a little longer. And I had the VIP so I could get to some of the attractions. One of the best ones. And guys, if you're listening and you have not been to an outpost yet and you're planning on going to one of the future ones coming up, in a city near you, you need to go run in line for the VR experience. That was absolutely incredible. If you guys did not get to try that out and you're going to future events or you have one and you don't know what to do first and you're just dying to know what's the first thing you should line up for, go to the Training Grounds VR experience. It is unreal. I got to do the VR experience with Bravo, Andy. He used to work for 343. And he's a you know, pro player and all these things. He's been a part of the Halo community for a very long time. And I actually ran into him. It was Kiki's birthday the night before. And he had a nice big cup of black coffee to help him get through the day after that party. And he was there. I called him over and I said, hey, dude, what's going on? How's the party? Some small talk. And then he goes on is like, dude, what are you guys doing? And we're like, well, we're in line for this thing. He's like, oh, man, I haven't tried it yet. I'm like, bro. You got that all access pass. Just skip in line with us and hang out with us and let's do it. It's a 3-man thing anyways, and we don't have one. He's like, all right. So we got to play on Sunday. We got to play the VR experience with Andy.
That's awesome,
man. Dude, it was unreal. We both, like, were getting shot. All three of us were getting shot at for, like, literally, like, a minute. But we were just in awe of how it looked. And we did win. We got on top with 14-5. It was pretty sad. I don't know what those guys are doing.
Well, I mean, you guys kind of had an unfair advantage, to be honest.
It's true. And you know what was so interesting? I want to add this little tidbit was we were playing like we would play if we were playing MLG, like if we were playing Tryhard.
Right.
We're doing call outs. Oh, you got Bravo. Kinds of stuff. So. And we had Bravo. He was doing a great job. He was holding back and doing the call outs. We were flanking the sides. It was great communication. We had some, you know, some hit. I got to meet Andy in 2017, so trying to reconnect with all that. So it was really, just really cool to get to do that, to have that opportunity. And then, like, every night after the event, meeting up with you and all the guys. And
that was so much fun.
It was just a blast. Like, I wanted to stay a whole other, like, month to do that. It was awesome.
And honestly, like, that was one of the biggest things. As I mentioned, I didn't get to do any of the events. The only things that I did at Outpost were I was literally walking the floor, talking to people, and going to the mixer panels or going to panels and signings. That was literally what I did. And but the after events, like when we all went to Dave and Buster's and met up, and then we went to Andretti Motorsports the night after, like,
oh my god,
those memories I will never forget.
That's another day. We have to get that story.
Yeah, that was stuff like you could not plan, but holy crap, that trip wouldn't have been near as good. Like, Outpost was amazing, but that's the stuff that's I think I always hear stories about with people. Is it's the stuff after the event, like the after parties that are always, you know, where you build friendships and those sorts of things. So, I mean, that was an absolute blast.
Yeah, I'd say that for me with PAX, like that's what PAX has been for me.
Oh, yeah.
I go to PAX and I maybe play one or two games, but I go to PAX because of the Halo community and the things surrounding PAX and, you know, the different events and, that's always what I've been, you know, what I've always loved about these kind of events. And like, so Halo Outpost for me, it was kind of like a pre-PAX or like a mini PAX in a sense. But Mike, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you high-fived John Friend, did you have to jump about 10 feet in the air?
I actually asked for a little stool. I asked for a stool. That one stool wasn't enough, so I had to get a couple of stacks of books and then a stool, and then I had to jump as high as I could to get that high five. I was going to
say, you have to jump at least as high as a Spartan, and he's also Spartan height. So
for the listeners out there, John Friend, he's one of the staff members at 343 Industries. The guy is literally as tall as Master Chief.
It's like 6'8", right?
Not. I kid you. Some of the lore guys might be able to pull it out. Really
Master
quick.
Chief. Master Chief with his armor is 7'1". John, I think, is like 6'7" or 6'8", which is pretty much Master Chief's height out of the suit.
Dude, he's scary big. Like, he's well, large.
You could see him walking. He was walking around a lot with Owen and Hazel, the two Spartans there at the convention, and he was as tall as Owen. So
yeah, and they got some pretty, like, man, I'm so sorry for some of the cosplayers that play. I didn't get their actual names for this, but no, yeah. They did a clutch job.
Oh my gosh, man.
I was talking to Frank O'Connor. He was just like, man, the sweaty south. But it was hot, okay? It was hot.
Dude, I got to give props to the four fifth members.
And they were in there trooping, man. I saw them. I didn't see them complaining not once. I think I mentioned, was it Owen? I got a hold of Owen or Hazel. Man, I can't remember which one it was. Who's the one with like the brownish beige armor?
Hazel.
Hazel. So I saw her on Twitter, and I was like, hey, yeah, thanks Jordan. For Jordan. Okay, so I was like, thanks for just thinking like dealing with all the heat. And they were like, what? I was having so much fun, I didn't even notice. So that was just super cool. You know, but yeah, guys. You guys, if you guys are going to go to any of the, you having any debate on the Halo Outpost Discovery and you're not sure if it's worth it, man, I went, Matt went, Eric went, we all thought it was worth it. Heck, Eric went and he just went for one day and that was just enough, but at the same time, it wasn't enough. So if you guys get a chance to go, you really got to check it out. Really quick to get into that.
August 2nd is Chicago. Yeah. August 16th is Houston, and August 30th is Anaheim.
And I want to point out really quick for those going to Chicago, as of today of recording, July 26th, the VIP three-day pass is sold out.
Completely sold out, yeah.
Completely sold out for the VIP three-day pass.
Which is awesome. I mean, the same thing happened with Florida or Orlando. So it's like, it's awesome that people...
Even Philadelphia, that happened too. All the three-day passes for Philadelphia, just general 3 days were gone.
Yeah.
Yep. I think this was the first things that got sold out.
Yeah. Yep, it was. So, yeah, make sure you guys don't miss those. I know some people are going to multiple outposts. If I have to say go to one event, I'll just ask that from you guys. If you have to go to one event, my recommendation, if you can, I don't know if they're having this panel at every single one, but the Community Pillars panel, just some community leaders just talking about the Halo community. Honestly, that's something I'm going to say go to because it's really cool. And then make sure you drop by the Mixer panels, the Community Play Dates. That's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So that's my recommendation.
I was able to get on stage.
Dust Storm is doing his Halo game. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Game. So he's kind of like, what is the name of the game? I can't think of it.
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. And
the game show, guys. Yeah,
Game show. Like that. That was really fun. I loved it. It was a bunch of laughs and, people screaming and saying, trying not to say what the answer is or whatever it was. That was really fun.
Wow, that I missed out on that. That would be something if I could like go back in time, it'd be a part of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, just to encourage you guys, Halo Outpost really is something great. You hear a lot of people complaining about some of the stuff, and some of those things are good reasons to complain. But so far, 343 has been on top of those things. I got to spend a lot of time talking to John Friend. I think we spent a good hour or so.
And jumping on stools.
I had to get a microphone so he could hear me. and just going over like what could make the future outposts better. And to be honest, that they're working really hard. They're listening to every little detail and taking note. I think just through casual conversation, something would come up and be like, "Hey, you know what? That's a really good idea for, what we're gonna do in Philly. Let me go take note and see if the team can go make that happen." And then there's some people who are out there till 4 a.m. getting this place set up and prepped, and then back there 7 a.m. So, man, there's a lot of people slaving really hard to make sure this event is as good as it can get, and you guys don't want to miss out. None of us are getting any compensation for any of this. This is honestly just from our hearts and just to encourage you guys. Man, we had a blast. We don't want you guys to miss out. We hope you guys have a blast, too.
And you can tell, too, the care that they've put into this. It's like that's at the heart of 343 is like they care about Halo. They like Halo. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to add to it. And so it's you could see that love flow through Outpost, and the fact that they're willing to implement over it during this, the different events and take feedback. And I mean, that's at the same time, I mean, that's kind of the heart of 343 in general is like, you think about Master Chief Collection and the things that they've done because of feedback over the, over the years. That's what's awesome about Outpost and 343 in general is that they're willing to listen. And you don't get that often. You don't get that often from communities. It's
they care.
Yeah, you usually from other communities or other companies, it's just like, well, this is what we're doing. Deal with it. And so.
Yeah, I mean, well, one quick thing I wanted to point out before we move on to the next thing and end the podcast is, one, if you are going to get signings, make sure you get there early. I don't know how they handled Philadelphia. But I didn't really hear anything bad about Philly. I feel like they've taken care of a lot of the issues, at least from what I've seen publicly. But, yeah, if you guys make sure you go to Outpost if you can. Don't miss out. I'm sure they'll have it next year, but, you know, to be part of the first round of Outposts and just meet people, it's totally worth it. Absolutely. Even if it's for a day, make sure you go. Seriously.
Yeah, man, you guys do not want to miss out on this opportunity. It really is a blast. Really quick, Matt and Eric, if you could say out of your experience, what would be one of those moments that you were there that really just hit home? Like, you were there and you're like, man, this is what made Outpost the very best thing that I could be a part of.
Yeah, Eric, you can go first on that.
Yeah, I would say, again, it's hanging out with the community. And outside of that, I would say, you know, because I was only able to do two things. Like, I thought the Halo Arena experience was really cool. Being able to kind of see, you know, to jump into this universe and be a part of the universe and experience it like you were, you know, you're literally walking into something within the Halo universe. I said universe about five times there, but you know,
universe.
Kind of just, it really, you know, being able to like at the end of the Halo experience and going into the dome projector thing, whatever, like kind of seeing like, oh, this is awesome. Like, you know, kind of getting the idea of how huge a ring is, which we know, but like, you got to see it. Like it was like a real thing.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I like about Halo Outpost is it feels real. Like, and you know, I hate that I got to miss out on the, what was the AI name?
Gabriella.
Yeah, like that wasn't working the first day. Right when you enter, but I still think it's cool. Like, you know, they had her as a, like, they made all these guide. Things. Yeah, all these things that were part of, that have been added to the lore or part of the lore and made it part of the Outpost. And to me, that was really cool. I like that. I like that kind of thing because, again, you know, I'm a big campaign nerd and I love it and I like playing and diving into it. In fact, I was playing through the Halo 2 campaign tonight and it's just, I love it. And being able to jump into that world to me was just, it was really cool. It was something that was different because, you know, we're kind of, you know, we're seeing those things like with Star Wars, what Disney's doing with their parks is, you know, like bringing people into the world. And that's to me is the coolest thing because you can still bring people into the world, but then also at the same time, still give people the room to connect and give people the, you know, the panels and things like that. And
Awesome.
Kind of a you know, repeat over and over again, the same thing of it was cool to jump into the universe. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of just really quick, go off of that, obviously just being a part of the universe really hit me. You know, I mean, for me, this was my very first convention. And what a way to do it is with the thing I love the most, and that's Halo. But what really hit home for me, again, walking in that very first moment and seeing Master Chief and looking around and after in the line with these people for like half an hour, just talking, meeting people, is you're all there and they all just stand there awestruck. And one of the first people I actually met in the convention center was Green Skull. And I've known Dan pretty well over the years. And just to meet the first person I've ever met that I've played with online or known from online was Dan, just to finally meet somebody who's like that realization, you know, we're not just people online, we're real people. And, you know, this community is real. And, but the moment that actually is not, aside from meeting like Steve Downs and Jen Taylor, which I was ecstatic to have that experience.
I can't believe we did not mention that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, there's so much we could talk about. I'm sure we'll have these stories, but I mean, I waited from 9 a.m. in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon on the last day of Outpost just to meet Steve Downs and Jen Taylor. So that was quite an experience. And, you know, you have a couple minutes to talk with them. So it's a very personable experience. So if you guys can, make sure you get to do that. But the moment that actually stands out to me the most about Outpost wasn't any of the events. It wasn't any of the activities. But every day, they kept playing in between the mixer panels. They play the Halo Infinite trailer from this year, from E3. And every single time that trailer went on, everybody stopped. Literally, the convention floor just stopped. Everybody looks up, especially like when she says, "No, we have to fight." And then it goes into the thing. And then, but everybody stops as soon as it shows Chief walk into the control room. Everybody stops moving. Everybody looks up to the screen. And then 343 logo comes up. Everybody just cheers every single time. And every time that happened, I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it because it shows to me how powerful Halo is, how powerful this community is, how important this game is to people. Like, that just doesn't happen. You know, people don't just stop to watch something over and over again because it's cool. It has to have an emotional connection. It has to mean something to them. And the fact that people once, like, one, went to this convention, but two, would be willing to stop every time this thing comes on the screen shows you the power of what, you know, Bungie originally built and now 343 has, you know, taken and continued to build upon. So that for me is actually my favorite moment about Outpost, but just seeing the love for, you know, Halo in the community and just, you know, where we're heading next. It's a very, very bright future for Halo. And I am so excited to be, you know, a part of this ride and, you know, be a part of something that I've always wanted to be a part of. And that's launching a community and really giving back to something that's meant so much to me.
And I will add to the whole Halo Infinite trailer conversation there is that, you know, I probably watch it two or three times a week. And the last time I did that was
watched it like five today.
Yeah. Like the last time I did something like that was with Halo 2 when they were showing off gameplay for the first time. I think it was E3.
Yep.
But,
you know, demo never actually showed up in the game, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like every time I'm watching the Infinite trailer and you see Chief floating in space and the music that is just timed perfectly, it's like you get cold chills every time.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, there's our hero. What's going on? Why is he out there? I want to know more. I'm ready for this game.
I mean, that's my screensaver right now. My wallpaper is him walking in the control room. Every time I look at him, I'm just like enamored.
So, Eric, you mentioned that about Infinite and how Chief is out there. I wanted to add that for any of those community members who are saying, you know what, I haven't played Halo 4, I haven't played Halo 5, I haven't really been paying attention to any of that Halo Wars series, I don't know if I should get back into it. If you guys did play Halo 3, if you pay attention, Chief seems to be in a very similar place he was in the end of Halo 3. You know, Halo went off, he's floating in space, and you don't really, you're not really sure what's going to happen or what is happening to Cortana. So it's a great way to kind of do a spiritual reboot. And so I'm glad that 343 Industries was able to say, hey, we're doing a spiritual reboot. This is an opportunity for people to come back in. And my time that I spent 2017 having some conversations with some people, when I got a couple of questions, I sent a couple of questions their way in conversation. And when I got back was they were really trying to find out why people left in the prime time of Halo 3. Why they would not get involved in Halo 4, Halo 5, and what would bring them back. And it kind of goes to show that that's what's behind Halo Infinite. So any of you guys who are wondering, I don't know if I should get involved in Halo Infinite. I missed out in 4. I missed out in 5. I might as well quit now. I have a feeling you're going to regret that very much. I think this is the one that you guys want to get back into. I think this is the one for any of you guys who aren't sure. Maybe you guys are big fans of Halo 5 and it looks completely different. If you liked Halo 5, you're going to like this. If you liked Halo 3, you're going to like this too. I think it really hits the nostalgia funny bone.
Yeah.
Like Eric was saying earlier. And yes, nostalgia is selling like hotcakes right now. But there's a lot of things that are new in there. There's a lot of humanism. There's a lot of drama. Man, there's a lot of emotion coming out of that.
Absolutely.
And so Infinite, I could go on and on and on, and we will have plenty of speculation to lead up towards the launch of Halo Infinite and the new console coming out in holiday 2020. There's so much excitement coming in with a new Halo game, with some Halo events taking place, and it's a good time to be a Halo fan. It's a great time.
Of course, yeah, and I will add too is, you know, like we plan on having community play dates and things like that, and you know, if you're not into, you know, if you're not playing Halo, I mean, at this point, it's like, yeah, I can understand, but at the same time, it's like, you know, having this community play dates and just getting together and talking about Halo and just, you know, joking around, having fun, and it's like, really,
yeah, man.
If you have Game Pass, there's really no excuse to download the game and play.
Listen, but, if you guys haven't played Halo 4, Halo 5, even if you don't want to try it, try it. Just come and play. That's what makes the games really.
Yeah,
come play.
Yeah, and a free tidbit and sales pitch to Game Pass, guys. I have Game Pass. I've had it for a year now. No, I've actually had it for about 2 years now. Game Pass, if you don't have it, you're going to want to get it, especially Game Pass Ultimate. Because with Game Pass Ultimate, you can go ahead and get all of Xbox's exclusive games at launch. And if you have Ultimate, you'll get the Ultimate version of those games. So any bonus DLC, you'll be able to get some of that content right there on the fly at launch. And so I'm a part of the subscription to Game Pass Ultimate. I think some of you guys are actually a part of that as well. Yeah. Especially if you went to Halo Outpost, you got a little treat from 343 and Microsoft. But I don't say this because I'm going to get anything out of it. I actually say this because it is a great offer. And with Project xCloud coming out, imagine the possibilities of being able to play your favorite Xbox exclusive on the go. Playing it at home and picking up right where you left off on the go. That's going to be a pretty awesome opportunity. And I have a feeling, this is a speculation kind of prediction here, that xCloud is going to be a part of the package with Game Pass Ultimate. And so if you do have Game Pass Ultimate and you do want to be able to play some of these awesome Xbox games on your phone, on the fly, you might want to check that out. And if you guys like playing video games everywhere you go, that'd be another incentive to try to get yourself into that. So, guys, we're going to wrap up this episode here. It's been a pretty awesome time, pretty great time of conversation. Some things that these guys shared, I didn't know it, and I got to learn it just now. So through our great journey with Halo Respawn, we look forward to you guys listening in and getting involved with the Halo community. And, Matt, thank you so much for heading this whole project here. Yeah. Eric, thank you so much for helping me host this episode and host future episodes.
Definitely.
So I'm gonna sign you guys out, you know, for sure.
Sure.
I want to give you guys an opportunity to say a couple last words. So Matt, thank you so much for everything you did, and Eric, thank you so much for your help. You guys, if you want to go ahead and say a couple last words to some of the listeners before we head out, now's your time.
Yeah, so real quick, guys, I just want to let you guys know what just kind of the idea here for Halo Respawn as we move forward. I know we really didn't get to talk about it, but I just thought I'd give you guys an idea. So Halo Respawn, we'll be launching the main site here very soon, but we're also, it's going to be very simple in the beginning. It's not going to be this crazy thing with a forum or anything like that. We do have a Discord. You guys can follow that. The link is on the Twitch bio. We'll have the links below as well. But the future of Halo Respawn is going to be something very special. I can't really exactly say what we're looking at, but we're looking at maybe implementing some APIs, some integrations with Halo and Xbox. That's the hope. And moving forward, if any of you guys are web developers or app developers or software developers and want to become a part of our team as we develop some things, let us know. Get in contact with either myself, VicKing95 on Twitter, or Eric, which I think, Eric, is your Twitter just South? What is...
It is South TV, but it's SOVTH TV.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll add on to, you know, what Matt's saying is, if you're a developer, I'm gonna be helping build the future of Halo Respawn. I mean, we have a lot of awesome ideas. We love to love help. You know, this is something we're doing in our spare time out of our, you know, it's because of our passion for Halo. But you know, if you have anything you want to do as far as helping out with the development, you know, just reach out to us, and you know, we can go from there and just, you know, see what we can do. I feel like, you know, I'm glad to be a part of Respawn. I'll say, you know, it's funny that, you know, found out about Respawn through Mike, who was talking about doing the podcast. And then, you know, I remember reaching out to him and I was like, hey man, you know, I was thinking about doing a podcast too. Let's work together. And and it's grown into this big thing that we want to do. And yeah, it's, yeah, we can be all talk and things like that, but you know, we have a passion for Halo.
Yeah.
We have a passion for the community, and we want others who have that same passion to join us and help out and help build something great.
Exactly. And so right now, if you guys want to get involved with Halo Respawn, right now we have our core team, but we're looking to add in the future. And just, if you want to just share and just promote us, we're all for that. Halo Respawn, at this point, once we launch, we'll just keep up on our Twitter. But it's just going to be a site sharing community content. We'll have events, so you guys can send in your submissions for content. If you have articles or fan art or a video that you just launched, you know, send it our way, and we'll get up on our front page once we launch. That's kind of what we're going to do in the beginning. We're going to be a bridge for the community. We'll have a page where you guys can find other Halo communities. Maybe there's something specific you're looking for, we'll have it listed. And if you actually run a community, let us know as well. So just communicate with us. It's hard to really say what we're going to be doing. Maybe we'll jump in on the next podcast and dive in deeper. But, you know, we're going to be here for the community. That's really our goal. We're the bridge for the community, and we just want to give back. So I'm really excited about the future of this. We have some really big, ambitious goals, as Eric mentioned. Kind of hard to detail at the moment. But just keep an eye on our Twitter. Stay in touch with us and interact, and we'll keep you guys in the loop. So I'll hand it over to Mike.
Yeah, guys. So thank you, listeners, for spending time with us and getting involved with the Halo community, getting to know a little bit about us and how we got involved in Halo, getting to see why and how important Halo Outpost Discovery was and why you guys should get involved, and then just getting hyped for the future of Halo and the community of Halo growing from here on out. I want to encourage you guys to be keeping your ears out for a future episode coming out soon. We're going to be having some special guests. We've been doing a lot of hard work in reaching out to some of the community members and also devs for Halo. And we're going to be having some guests pop up in the next episode. So you guys want to keep your ears peeled for that and ready for that awesome opportunity to be able to see what we have in store for you guys. But guys, don't forget to get involved. Like Matt and Eric were saying, we'd love to hear from you guys. So if you guys were able to listen to this episode and you enjoyed it, please share with us what your favorite part of this episode was. And guys, again, don't forget, finish the fight.